Hi, welcome to Women Writing Men, episode 2, a podcast where myself and Mariah,
that's me,
rate and review books. The goal of this podcast is to find the most attractive man in fiction. Current number one is Callias from The Shadows Between Us by Tricia Levenseller, because we've only done one book so far. We thought it was going to be really easy to unseat him because he was not
great.
He was not great. He smelled good, but wasn't great. And this week, we'll be looking at The Starless Sea by Erin Morgenstern. I don't know how it's going to go.
It was very different than the book from before.
Yeah, the other one was so, like, bloodthirsty plot, and this one's very romantic.
Yes. And the other thing, too, the biggest two difference that I felt as I read it was reading The Shadows Between Us was just like a book happened and you were there for it. But this book, The Starless Sea, you couldn't just be there for it. You had to like put yourself right in, get into the nitty gritty, otherwise you were lost the whole way through.
So I have two main words to describe this one. I would, if anyone is listening to this, I would recommend reading it because I feel like I'm going to describe the plot. It's going to be just random sentences you're not going to understand.
I don't even know if I will understand.
Yeah.
That's my dishwasher.
Okay. Okay. It's very atmospheric. That was the word that I was going to go with because it's very like setting oriented, and so there's a lot of description, which as Mariah and I discussed in the previous episode, we're not great with description.
No, we're not. Gotta be honest, I skimmed a lot of the description.
That's the thing, like both of us are like description skimmers, and I feel like this one reveled in like the setting and like establishing this world.
I mean, it was called The Starless Sea. Yeah. So obviously what The Starless Sea looked like was important.
Yeah. And I feel like the whole book was just trying to describe what The Starless Sea looked like, and it was a very weird place.
It was a really weird place.
Yeah. So the other thing is, this book's kind of long, so I'm going to try to, like,
Move quickly.
So it opens, book one, Sweet Sorrows. There's several books within the book.
It's book inception!
There's, like, a lot of books within the books, and then there's stories within the books within the book.
Yeah.
There's Pirate. He's in jail. A girl comes to hang out with him before he's hanged. They say pirate, like, with quotation marks.
Yes.
And they're, like, hanged with quotation marks. So it starts interestingly, but I don't know. She asks him to tell her a story. So one more story within the story.
Yes.
There are three paths. This is one of them. This is another interlude. There's going to be so many. It just like, it does like, they're like, yep, there's a pirate in jail. And then it just switches to another thing.
Yeah. And you have no idea. Is the pirate going to come back? Was that it? We don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. Girl spends some time alone in a room and then gets a bee burnt into her chest and her tongue removed. That's one of the things you can do. I think that's being an acolyte.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was something about the reason you want to become an acolyte is because you've decided that other stories are more important than your, like, you get your tongue cut out because other people's stories are more important than yours, and your job is to record
their stories. Or enjoy their stories.
Yeah.
Then there's an interlude where we meet our main character, Zachary. Only goes by Zachary, not Zach.
And when I was writing my notes, I was like, dang, like, I'm going to start calling him Zach because Ari is too many letters.
It is. And freaking, I feel like Zachary is one of the names that is almost always shortened. It's like Samuel. Like, you don't call people Samuel. You call them Sam.
Yeah, actually, that's so true. And when people call people Samuel, I'm like, what are you doing?
That's not right.
That's not right. It sounds funny. It doesn't sound like a name.
So Zachary, I'm going to try to say it because that it was just something they established. He prefers Zachary.
Yeah.
But I found it weird that she was like really harsh about it. And then later came up with a nickname that was not Zach.
So I had lots to say about that.
So Zachary sees a door painted on a wall. He is the fortune teller's son. That's like
his character, because he happens to be in the book.
Yep. Yeah, so he sees a door. That's a whole section. That's like there's a page where he just sees a door. It's like painted onto a wall. It's very pretty.
Yeah.
There's bee, key, sword.
He decides, motif. Should I open this or not?
And then he doesn't.
And he doesn't.
Then we meet him again. It's January 2015.
Good to know the year.
They had that like written down, but most of the chapter titles don't have titles. So yeah, I'm going to just keep moving along and you're going to be like, where did that sentence come from? And it's just a different section. Zachary Ezra Rollins is his name. And they usually start it with being like Zachary Ezra Rollins.
I noticed that.
X,
like
YZ.
That's how every chapter begins.
Yeah. So
for his character, yeah. But later it changes.
Yeah.
Which must have been important. Yeah.
So he's at the university library. He is roughly our age. He's 25.
25, I know. I was like, you're already beating Clias right there.
Your hotness went up by being
our age. That's all it takes.
Yeah. He mentioned, I have a note that said quarter life crisis is real. And so he mentioned something about having a quarter life crisis. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, you know what it's like to be 25. Square framed glasses and cable knit sweaters, puts bourbon in his hot chocolate. That's what we know about him.
Yes.
Do you have more notes on him?
The only other, the way they described him was looks like a lit major, which I was like, what would this look like? Because, I mean, I've gone to university. I have never looked at people and been like, lit major, that's what you are, or any major. So it was really interesting. I meant to Google it. I didn't. And then later on, they just say that he says about himself, man, I look attractive. Like, he doesn't say that specifically, but he puts a suit on and he's like, oh,
yeah,
I look attractive in this.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, he's attractive. But that's all we really get. Like, Clias, where, like, they give us a full picture.
Of his hair.
Of his hair. Of his face.
Of his hair.
And with Zachary, all we get is the things he wears.
Yeah.
And that he thinks he's attractive.
And so he looks like a lit major, but is a video game major. Which I did not like the way they portrayed it. He was not interested in video games for being a video game major.
Yes. Oh, that was one thing I did love, because I am currently doing my master's. And so he was like saying, man, I wish there was a reading major. And that's really what I love to do. But then he was like, but maybe if that was what I was in, I would eventually come to hate it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, this is so accurate. This is what everyone feels like. So the one thing I thought that made him more attractive than Clias was that he was relatable.
Yeah.
I was like, yes.
Yes.
I totally get you.
Don't want to do my thesis.
I'm like, oh man, I love this thing, but it gets me down.
Yeah. Yeah. I found it weird that he was like, I guess it does make sense that he was like in this video game major and didn't want to be playing video games. He was like, I'm going to read instead, mm-hmm. as his like procrastinate doing his work thing.
Yes.
But I just found it odd for like a 25-year-old guy to be like, I only read. That's the only thing I do. I don't play video games, even though I'm a video game major.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I didn't. But maybe it's different too between you and me, because I don't play video games.
Yeah.
So I don't have any kind of like, oh, that's a weird thing.
Because
I'm like, I don't play video games. Why would anyone?
I feel like it was weird though, because he's a video game major. Like, they made him just, I don't know, he struck me as really uninterested in games.
Video games, yeah. I don't even, like, even that whole part about the video games, why was that
in it? Okay.
Like,
that bothered me because it felt like they were trying to convince the reader that video games are stories too.
But why was it needed?
It was
not. If none of the video game discussion had ever been talked about, the story would be literally the same.
Identical.
And, like, there was parts where they talked about video games, like, the whole stupid meeting with the friends. I was like, oh my gosh. I was reading this, and I was like, please don't tell me this has something important in it. Please don't, because I was just not interested in any of it. And then it didn't have anything important, I don't think.
No, it didn't, and I felt like, so they're, like, trying to make this hard point, oh, video games have stories, and I'm like, yeah. obviously. I don't know. It just didn't. It didn't feel like a thing that university students really needed to discuss. And
is it?
Are there really stories there? I think they were. She was trying to do like a. The author was trying to do sort of like a allegory where in video games you have agency in the story, and in this one Zachary kind of had agency in the story and made choices. Mm-hmm. I think that's what it was supposed to be, but yeah. I felt like
where I guess in books you don't have the agency, but she's like, but do books have agency?
I think it was kind of contributing to this like making your own story sort of theme. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I didn't love how it was done. We're about to meet Kat and I don't like her.
That's his friend, by the way.
Yes. We're gonna get to her soon. Before that, there's a brief interlude where we look at an elaborate little doll world.
Yes.
Where there's miniature things.
And everyone comes and changes. Whoever comes in is compelled to do something with the yeah. dollhouse. And it becomes, they call it a doll universe or dollverse. Yeah. Really. Doll house. Oh, let me see. I wrote it down because I was like, what? Oh, I just wrote doll universe. Darn it. That's not what they called it.
Yeah. Anyway, they add to the doll world.
Yes. And the thing I thought was important for this one, the deep meaning was, takes the dolls in the house a while to adapt to the changes going on in the outside world. Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting, actually. I was just like, all right, dolls, next pitch.
I was, in the beginning, I was like, all right, Maya, think about what each of these characters they're introducing, each interlude, what do they mean?
What does it mean?
And then I kind of like, stopped like, because there were so many.
Yeah. So then we meet Kat. I didn't write very good notes for this. I wrote scent-based project. There was some sort of... Kat, I think, was working on...
She's talking about... She wants to do virtual... She's like, virtual reality isn't virtual reality unless you can smell as well. Because, like, if you're... How can you feel in the game if there's no smell while you're in the game? Like, if you're in a... I don't know. If you're in a restaurant and there's no food smells, you're going to be like, this isn't a restaurant. I don't buy it.
I hate that premise. Video games don't need smells. Books don't need smells. We can get by without the smells.
But is that our, like, lack of detail?
Lack of smell.
That cares? We're like, we don't even care what the room looks like. Why would we care what it smells like? Imagine if that book last week had smells every time Kalias came in.
Lavender mint. Oh man, nothing needs smells, in my personal opinion. She mentions that Zachary would have been a Ravenclaw, which, okay, we gotta get to like my main issue with the book, with just this Ravenclaw reference.
All right, this is big. This was a passing moment for me, like whatever.
No, this is a big deal for me. This book makes a lot of literary references. Mm-hmm.
They do.
But they're not hardcore literary references. They're references that we would get, and I feel like it really weakens the story.
Interesting.
Like, there's, like, Hogwarts references, Adventure Time, there's, like, the Legend of Zelda references.
Oh, yeah, but they're so, like, the Adventure Time reference was just that she had a notebook. With.
Yeah. You don't need to include that, right?
Yeah.
Like, it was a choice. And so I felt... So this book is very literary. The other word, so I had atmospheric and I had bibliophilic, which is a word I made up. But like a bibliophile is someone who's like loves books like crazy.
Yeah.
And so this book felt like it was for book lovers. Mm-hmm. And it was just falling short for me. Like they kept making references to like Alice in Wonderland, like Where the Wild Things Are. It was like only children's books.
That's true. Did they maybe make some references to some adult books? What the books they were reading at the time. I didn't really pay attention.
Yeah, you didn't... See, I was, like, catching all these references, and I'm like, they're such basic references. Mm-hmm. Like, A Series of Unfortunate Events, that's what I compared it to, because I felt like A Series of Unfortunate Events was also trying to be, like, literary secret world kind of thing.
Yeah.
And they kind of played, they were like, okay, we're going to make literary references. Kids aren't going to get them. But they were like, we're kind of encouraging children to try and get them. This one, it felt like she was just making like baby little kid references so that you as the audience would just get them.
Which makes a little sense because she didn't make a lot of the rest of the books to make sense. She's like, this I will make very clear. The rest, be prepared for confusion.
Yeah, it felt like it was trying to be a very literary book and like with all these big literary references, and it was just nothing. Oh, he has curly hair. They mentioned that.
Oh, okay. Didn't catch that one.
Okay. And then this is, I guess, when they're in the bar, because it's when Kat says no when they're having their literary discussion.
Yeah, that happens first.
Yeah. And she says that he's orientationally unavailable.
Yeah.
Which I think that's kind of a cute way to say he's gay.
Uh-huh.
But I don't like Kat still. I wrote Zachary hides in his closet, so he must have sweet sorrows and have read it and be freaking out about it.
Yeah, he already has it when they have the literary meeting.
Yeah. Okay, so he found this book, Sweet Sorrows, and it has him in it, and so he's freaking out about it.
Yeah.
Has him looking at the door and not going through it. So yeah, he hides.
Oh, and the other important two thing part from his part of the story was that it says that he didn't, like, he was at the beginning of his story, and he didn't go.
Yeah.
And then
he's like, shit, I missed my shot.
Yeah. And then it says something like, but the story hasn't begun, not yet.
Yeah.
And so he's also freaking out about this, like, not yet.
Like, the more shit is going to happen.
Yeah. I'm going to be in the story? Like, what does that mean for me?
Yeah. And then he finds out that Sweet Sorrows came from a collection donated by J.S. Keating. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he hides in his closet, goes to weird debate thing. Okay, and then interlude. We did Acolyte, now we're on Guardians. Guardians undergo various tests, take care of an egg, live in the harbor, and get a sword tattooed on their chest.
Oh yeah, and the Acolytes get a bee burned into their chest.
Yeah.
And I also, they talk about what each one of the pathways are, and so the Acolytes, what they call them, like their kind of character trait is devoted, and then the Guardian, their character trait is worthy. Oh. Again, I was like, what does this mean? Seems important.
Yeah.
But let's find out.
Yeah. So Zachary Googles bees, keys, and swords because I think it's on Sweet Sorrows.
On Sweet Sorrows. It's also on the door. It was also painted on the door that he had found as a kid.
Yeah. So he finds a picture of who we later find out is Mirabelle on the internet with a necklace with a bee, key, and sword.
Yeah.
And ends up going to this masquerade, which happens to be happening in 3 days.
Yeah. And also, like, the odds of her coming back again, I was like, what? Yeah.
What?
There's a lot of things in this book that I was like, this is too convenient that this occurred.
Yeah.
Like, really? 3 days from now is when it happens to be?
Yeah.
What are the odds of that?
And he Googles the picture and he happens to find her. Yeah. It's just, yeah.
But maybe it's a thing about Mirabelle because we know who she is and they don't know yet.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe she's like magic. I mean, things are a little... Anyway.
So he goes to the ball. This is when we find out he's attractive.
Hold on.
Wait. Okay, what?
Little girl explores, knocks on a door that's laying in the ground, falls into the starless sea.
This is an interlude, right?
Yes.
And she went into the story.
Yeah, that's all. Oh, okay. Now we go to the party. I wrote, I would not go to this party.
I was impressed because, like, they have described him as not wanting to hang out with people, introverted, shy, la la la. And I was like, man, he's just going to go to this party alone. No, thank you.
Yeah. Never, he like goes ever. To New York and is like, rents a hotel and he's like, I'm going to this party alone. But I literally wrote, why aren't you going to masquerades to avoid working on your thesis?
Me?
Yeah.
What am I doing wrong? Maybe this is what I'm doing to avoid working on my thesis.
Yeah. Yeah. Doesn't bring his phone. That he didn't. I don't know why.
Does it say?
It does, and then they later go back for it, like to get it from the hotel. And I was like, why didn't he just bring it? He takes a bath before going to the party, and I was like, what young,
people love
what 25 year old man
takes baths?
Baths.
Alex doesn't take baths?
I've never seen him take a bath.
I don't take baths. But maybe fancy hotel. But was it fancy? No.
It was, I mean, maybe. I don't know where he gets his money, but
I don't know. My favorite part about him going to New York was that he went to New York and I was like, oh, that's so cool.
Another interlude before we can get to the party.
So many interludes.
Yeah. People randomly come to the starless sea through doors, and maybe the sea is actual water. Dip their feet in. They have parties sometimes. That's the exact quote.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
This is my last interlude. Oh, I put keepers too. How many more did I do? I did the Fortunes and Fables story too. Okay. So for this door to the starless sea, the things that I thought were like, this is meaningful, were that the stores are literally everywhere. But people need to open it.
Yeah.
And if you seek it, even if you don't know that you were seeking it, you will find the doors.
Which I do, like, it's kind of like a fantastical thing where you're like,
it's kind of like the Room of Requirement. That's a better literary reference for this book.
Yes. Holy heck. That's exactly what it is. Anyway. Yeah, Zachary goes to this random masquerade in New York and actually talks to people,
yeah.
Which I was like, what?
Yeah, too. He said the mask made him brave, and I was like, made it easier because it wasn't him. And I was like, really?
Still,
it
though.
It was so hard.
Yeah.
Like, who else goes to these masquerades alone? They're probably with their groups of friends, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you'd go to a masquerade ball with your group, not alone. And then you're like, let's go hang out with them.
It's so crazy.
Maybe this is how people meet their soulmates.
Yeah, maybe you need to go to more masquerades alone. Yeah, so he dances with a woman who's dressed as Max from Where the Wild Things Are. Then he gets pulled into a dark room.
This is weird.
This is the weirdest thing.
I was like, all of a sudden it was dark and he couldn't see.
Yeah.
And then someone starts telling him a story in his ear.
Okay, and he described the smell, because smells are important, I guess. Leather, lemon, tobacco, and sweat.
Tobacco happens a lot with this guy around.
Yeah.
I did notice that.
But does he smoke?
They never show him smoking or him actually smoking.
Huh.
It was so weird. I was like, in my head too, I was imagining that they were like walking along this long black corridor.
Yeah, me too. Like it was like a long journey and the guy's like, just like lurking really close.
Telling him the story. And I was like, where are all the other party guests? And why is there a dark room right off the ball?
So weird.
But what was the story? Because it was probably important.
Yeah, I didn't write it down. I wrote about time and fate.
So the story was time and fate, and they were in love.
Yeah, the Owl King.
The stars decided that time and fate shouldn't be together. Like, it would mess up the world, I guess.
Yeah.
And so, but the moon was like, we shouldn't do this. So then on a day where the moon was dark,
okay,
they came, killed.
Yeah.
And they had to decide which one to kill.
Yeah.
And they decided fate was more important to kill. Like, time was more important.
To keep alive.
So they destroyed fate, broke her up into pieces.
A mouse took her heart.
And that's what we know.
And they is the Council of Owls and the Owl King.
Yes.
The Owl King comes up a lot, and I don't know.
I don't get the
owls. I don't understand.
It was like, as I was reflecting on this story, I was like, the owls, there were owls. And that was my kind of summary. Like, there were owls. Things happened when owls were there also.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll understand as we go through it.
My understanding versus yours, and we'll connect the dots.
Yeah.
But here we go. Okay, so that was the story. And he was like, he wasn't weirded out, really.
No,
as I would have been if that had happened to me.
Yeah, he like asked no questions. He was like, okay, this is... Because it was a literary ball, so I guess there was story-themed things.
And people were taught, like, conversations he had were about literature.
Yeah, but, like, how weird is it to have a person specifically tell you what a weird story? Anyway, then we switch back. The third thing, there's acolytes, guardians, there's keepers. They tell a story, get a key burnt into their chest, and there's only one keeper, question mark, I wrote.
My understanding was that there had been other keepers, but because of the weird things going on in the Starless Sea, that the others had gone. Yeah. I mean, there was only one acolyte, too, and no guardians.
Yes. So. Yeah.
But they, yeah, that they keep everything. They keep the rooms, they keep the stories, they keep the bees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he gets a note from a creepy guy in the dark room and then goes to the New York library and then meets Dorian, who is...
The creepy guy in the dark room.
Yep. Who gives him, or who has Sweet Sorrows, his book. I don't know when he took it.
He didn't take it. Someone stole it
from Zachary.
Zachary took the book to the ball. Mm-hmm. Someone stole the book from Zachary, so Dorian says. And then Dorian stole it back.
Okay.
And gave it back to Zachary. Well, didn't actually give it back to Zachary.
No. But he had it and was like, if you want your book back.
You need to steal my book for me.
Yeah.
Because people are lovely with their books.
Yes.
The interlude was the lost dude. Was it?
I don't know. I have an interlude where... maybe I skipped that one. I have an interlude where Zachary, we just learn about him. That he lived in New Orleans. His parents are divorced.
Oh, no. It's not an interlude. That's everything Dorian knows about Zachary.
Oh, Dorian tells him what he knows about Zachary. Okay. Yeah. Well, here's what we know about Zachary. He's from New Orleans. His parents are divorced. He's an introvert with anxiety. No friends. That's like... That's the weird part, too, is, like, Zachary's the kind of person that apparently can go to a masquerade all by himself.
But he has no friends.
Yeah. He, like, is almost close with Kat, but not really.
Yes, they talk about, like, oh, if we just hung out a little bit more, we'd get to that friend level. But right now, they're just, like...
Not at that friend level.
Yeah.
Which, admittedly, good on an author for realizing that there's friend levels. Has had two serious romantic relationships and both ended badly.
Yes.
And I was like, okay. I feel like that was, I don't know, unnecessary to include. Mother is Haitian, which then I was like, so Zachary's black?
Guess he could be. But we don't know what his dad looks like.
We don't know what his dad looks like. We don't even know if she's Haitian. Like, they said his mother's Haitian, but they didn't say...
Because Rawlins, that's his last name, which might be his dad's name. Yeah. Doesn't sound...
Yeah. I also had the problem where, like, because Alex has a friend, Zach, who is, like, a skinny white boy, I imagine
that's
skinny white boy.
Yeah.
Because also, like, when you say, like, glasses lit major, it's, like, I feel like skinny
white
man.
There's a stereotype.
Man. Yeah, video game major. Like, it all just was, like, pointing to skinny white boy.
Yes.
But then I was, all of a sudden, I was, like, I don't know what he looks like. That's the thing that kind of bugged me about it. I'm, like, I know a lot of things about him, but I feel like...
What does he look like?
What does he look like?
Mystery.
Pen was a tracking device. Someone gave him a pen on the train.
Oh, on the
train. They asked for a pen, and then that was a tracking device, and he was like, yeah, okay, that sounds legit. And then Dorian is like, you need to steal this book for me. Gives him extremely complex instructions.
Yeah, I was like, okay, he's gonna get this wrong.
I was like, I... would be like, wait, stop, after like, the first sentence. But Zachary's like, oh, yeah, no, this is fine.
Yeah.
He's like, you're going to go in, you're going to do this, you're going to get the book, you're going to go out the back gate, you're going to... It was insane.
And he didn't even give him, the like, clear instructions, because later on, like, parts of the instructions don't tell him how to do things. He has to wing it. Like, you gave him nothing, really.
Yeah.
All right.
Dorian, ruggedly handsome,
graying
at the temples.
How old is Dorian?
At one point, they used the word middle age. And I was like, Dorian's too old. Like, so we established that Zachary's gay, and yet the whole time, not the whole time, like...
For a long time, you're like, oh, this is just another male character in the story.
I really did not think Dorian was the love interest because...
He was described as middle-aged and graying, and Zachary, we know, is 25 years old.
Yeah, which, like, I don't want to be, like, judging age differences, but even middle-aged, like, at the youngest, I feel like that's, like, 35. Mm-hmm. That's still a significant age difference. Mm-hmm. I don't know how old Dorian was or why they described him as so ancient-seeming. I feel like if they had just been, like, oh, his face is young, but he has gray hair or something.
Yeah, because people can get gray hair
early. It's just like...
They don't really describe him either. The descriptions of the people were not important to the story. They liked to describe their hair. We know the color of his hair. We know Maribel's hair. Yep. We know Zachary's curly hair. Mm-hmm. But to know anything else, that's up to our imagination.
Yeah. Okay, and then we have another interlude. Yeah, Dorian is the weird guy from the closet.
Yeah.
By the way. If that wasn't, like, the sexiest intro to a man, then you're wrong.
Gosh, it's been 30 minutes.
Yeah, that's what I was scared of with this. We gotta, like, hurry. Okay. There's a guy wandering around looking for a girl. He's lost, keeps forgetting what he's looking for.
Yeah.
Zachary goes into the place. There's doorknobs hanging from strings. The girl lets him in. It turns out she came to Kat's weird meeting that they had. Polar bear lady catches him as he's leaving.
Polar bear, and that she wears a polar bear fur coat.
Yeah, no, she's a polar bear.
I mean, later on, there are some weird things that are animals, so.
Yeah. Dorian pushes him through a door, and then he finds an elevator.
And he takes it.
Yeah.
Ooh.
One of the doorknobs was, maybe this was in a different place. It was a Tofino. Tofino,
oh, yeah,
BC.
Yeah, it was. I was like, oh.
Yay.
That's where we are from, but not Tofino, just BC.
Girl frees pirate and they kiss.
But then the girl dies. That's how that story ends. The girl is dying.
Yes.
She's going to be executed in his place.
Yeah. Mirabel, we later learn is Mirabel, is painting the doorway in the alley that Zachary almost went through and then goes and has tea with his mom.
And now we're on to book two.
Yeah.
Which is, so like now book one of the story has ended. Book two is beginning and there's going to be a new story. Sweet Sorrows has ended.
Yeah. It was about pirate girl and...
The pathways and Zachary.
Yes. Fortunes and Fables opens with the star merchant. There's a guy who sells stars. Here's the time and fate fell in love story. Zachary, no, that was the whole story. Is there anything you want to say about it?
No, they literally just do the story again.
Yeah. Zachary leaves the elevator, goes into a room, rolls a dice, gets a heart, drinks
all
something.
All hearts, not one heart. Okay. All he gets six dice or five dice and they're all hearts, which seems incredible.
No, I think all the sides of the dice turn to hearts.
What do you mean?
There's multiple things on the dice.
Yes,
right?
And he rolled heart.
He rolled a heart, and then all the sides of the dice turned to a heart.
Oh, really? You rolled one, but then later he rolls all of them for Dorian, and they all get different ones.
Oh, maybe you're right. Okay. I thought there was just one dice.
I think there's more.
Okay.
We could be wrong.
Well, we'll see. We won't see because we won't remember by that point. He drinks something that says drink. He goes into a room with a contraption I can't picture.
I don't remember the contraption.
It's like the big thing hanging in the middle of the room.
Oh, the heart. Is he in the heart?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's where the center of where he is called.
Yeah. He meets an old man with cool braids and an owl ring. Zachary laughs like a maniac, falls to his knees, and meets an orange cat. Old man sees that he's wearing a sword that Dorian gave him to break into the place, and he's like, we're closed. And that...
Interesting. Didn't notice... Like, that has meaning, probably.
Probably.
The end of the story. Okay, keep going.
He's going to sail the starless sea, ?
Because that's what he says he's coming to do, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay. Keeper gives him a compass that'll point back to the heart and then takes him to a room. He's all like, I'm an agnostopagan. As his religious beliefs. And I was like, okay, that was another problem I had with the story. It struck me as pretentious at times.
Interesting.
Did it? I don't know if it did for you.
I don't know. I read it really fast.
He gets a very nice room. I wrote, how many cats are there?
Yes, I wrote... Something about the cats is important.
They seem to be everywhere. I don't know if it was important, but I liked that there were cats around.
Well, they call the cats later on. They say cats are guardians. Mm. Interesting.
Yeah. I like them. They were nice. Then there's a story about a key collector. A woman comes to a guy looking for a specific key.
And she finds it and ends up opening one of the doors and going into...
Yeah, Zachary wakes up and everything is great. He's got clothes. He doesn't have his glasses.
No, he doesn't.
But he can read everything now in the Starless Sea. Like,
yeah, like when you're reading a book, even if it's in a different language, it translates for you.
Yeah. There's some sort of dumbwaiter kitchen system.
Where you ask for something and the kitchen delivers it to you. And it's delicious.
Yeah. Which I initially was like, this is way too perfect. But later...
they explain why it's so perfect.
And I liked it. I liked the kitchen, like, a lot. Once they explained it. Like, when it first came up, I was like, this is very gimmicky. It felt very, like, Hogwarts. Like, food appears.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I later liked it. He goes see the keeper, gets glasses, meets Mirabelle, who was the lady he danced with at the thing. She decides to call him Ezra.
Yeah.
That's just his nickname for...
and then he decides to call her Max.
Because she was dressed as Max.
And I was like, this isn't how nicknames work, guys.
You just tell them. That's what's happening.
It bothered me. That's not how it works. People just get nicknames because of...
things.
Being in relationship with people.
Yeah.
Not because you're like... your middle name, it's cooler, so Ezra.
Yeah, Ezra is the same amount of letters as Zach. You could just use Zach. But nope. And then they decide to go rescue Dorian.
Woo!
Who got captured. I think I forgot to say that. We have the girl in the feather. Girl who was a princess, goes to a kingdom, no king, ruled by Owl King, marries a blacksmith, has a daughter that sees ghosts. Owl King tells her to bring the girl back. She has no future. Girl gets a feather mark from feather she found. Girl goes back and stays forever.
With the Owl King.
Yes.
That was the most confusing story.
Interesting that you'd say that.
I mean, again, because who was she? Every other story, we will discover later
who
they kind of were.
Yeah.
And how they're connected to Zachary's story. Who was she? I don't know if she was anyone. And then this Owl King, was he good? Was he bad? I don't get it. Didn't get that one.
Yeah. That's fair. Was it like a past life of Mirabelle's?
Maybe. But like, she doesn't want to stay with the Owl King.
Yeah. And also like, seeing ghosts, like that's just...
I didn't get it.
So, and here's the thing. I actually like... these little story interludes, I found them kind of charming at times. Like I really wanted to be on board with them. But then as the story progressed, I was like, I don't know if I'm on board with these anymore.
There's just so many.
Yeah. It was trying to do a thing, and I think it was just not how I would have wanted it done. Mm-hmm. They go to Starbucks.
Yeah, and she gets a secret message in her cup.
And he orders a skim milk matcha green tea latte. And I was like... ew. Like, I don't know. I just... not like I hate the drink. I just... I don't know. I really am not a fan of having a Starbucks order. I really hate designer coffee, though. So I'm very judgmental about it, and I know I shouldn't be. But I just... It bothered me. It turned me off Zachary. Like, I was like, no. And it's... like, I guarantee Alex would order exactly that. He has ordered that. He likes it. It's a good drink. Uh-huh. It's just like... I don't know, it's just like saying it in the Starbucks way. I don't know. I just hate designer coffee.
Interesting.
I'm really judgy. Yeah, they go to Starbucks, order alarm code. And then Dorian is hanging from ribbons like the doorknobs. And then, you know, because this is what happens. Interlude time.
Yeah.
The inn at the edge of the world. There's an innkeeper who's all alone and makes me feel very sad. And then a woman comes in, and it's, like, really wintry outside. And then the sun and the moon meet to discuss what the stars get up to, and the innkeeper is sad because they leave.
Well, and also because, like, while the moon arrives first, and while the moon is waiting, the innkeeper basically falls in love with the moon.
Yeah.
And he's like, stay with me. And she's like, I gotta go back and be the moon.
Yeah, I'm really busy. Yeah, but his was made me sad. And this story was actually where I was like, maybe I like the story interludes, even though it was getting in the way of...
I liked this story. And they don't reveal, too, like... she tells him the story of the sun and the moon, mm-hmm. and then he's like, oh, what's the sun and the moon? And then then it comes.
Yeah.
Like, you discover right at the end, oh, she's the moon.
Yeah.
And she's meeting the sun. And I was like, that's so cool.
Yeah.
And that they don't... the sun and the moon, like, they don't catch up. It's just like, let's get to the point, and then let's get back out there and be the sun and the moon.
We got shit to do.
Okay, so back to Zachary saving Dorian's life.
Zachary wakes up tied to a chair and identifies he's listening to. Great point. He's listening to Vivaldi, which is another one where I was like, pretentious. This is pretentious.
And he's tied to a chair at a table, and this is where he interacts with
Allegra.
Yeah. Who wants him to leave and never come back to this life and just go back home. Otherwise, I will kill your mother. And while there, he drinks some of her tea.
Yeah, tell me what Sweet Sorrows is about, or I'll snipe your mom. She's like, or I'll explode your dad and his new family. I was like, Allegra. And then there was an egg theme thing motif.
Yeah, she was like, you can't let the egg break.
But the egg is full of gold.
Yeah. Oh, they talk about the egg again later, too.
Yeah. Yeah, this has so many,
things you need to know.
Themes, yeah. Right? There's bees, swords, keys, egg, feather, owl king. There's so many.
Okay, interlude!
Tale of Three Swords. So I think, Fortunes and Fables?
Yeah.
I like the stories mostly from
this one. Way better than Sweet Sorrows.
Yeah, absolutely. Sweet Sorrows, it was these aren't stories. They're literally just a boy looked at a door. It's not interesting.
Where each of these was a true story.
Yeah.
So this is a guy, he makes a sword. Mm-hmm. It's so good. He doesn't know what he wants to do with it. It's the best sword he's ever made.
Yeah.
And he decides to just make three more. Or two more.
Two more?
Two more.
Well, someone tells him the sword is going to kill the king.
Oh, right. He gets its fortune told.
Yeah.
And so he's like, I'll make two more and then we won't know which one is the king killer sword. Yeah. And he gives one to each of his children. Mm-hmm. The first son, I don't remember.
I didn't even write. I wrote the middle child daughter killed the owl king in the dream.
Yeah. So both the other two swords are lost forever. And then this sword successfully kills the owl king.
I wonder if that's never mind.
Is this the sword to, I don't know.
This is the
sword that Dorian had, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So then Dorian is the middle girl child. I'm going to stop trying to make connections. Mirabelle rescues Zachary.
And Dorian.
Is Dorian the love interest? Yeah, they rescue Dorian. Mirabelle shoots a lantern and starts a fire. Interlude, the story sculptor.
Who basically, the most important thing about the story sculptor is that the mouse gives the story sculptor the heart to hide.
Yeah.
And she successfully hides it in a story.
Yes. That's all. Oh, and they cut off her hands. Which is another weird theme in this book.
Because they find out what she did, and then they're like, you will never sculpt again because you hid the fate's heart, evil woman.
Yeah. Another interlude, the girl and the pirate look over the starless sea and then she gets torn apart, but sees a way to cross for next time. Book 3, The Ballad of Simon and Eleanor.
I liked this one too.
I liked this one too. See?
These two were good, and then later again, I just don't like them anymore.
Yeah. So the little girl, who a long time ago fell through the door, which was a sentence, but here we are. Her name is Eleanor.
She basically finds a room and wonders, is there someone on the other side of this locked door? Mm-hmm. And she sends a message.
Oh, they do Dorian's dice drink test for him. Yeah, they wrote, he has thick salt and pepper hair. And I was like, old. He's old. He can't be the love interest.
And he wears toe socks. I remember that. And I was like, why? You have a thing against...
I don't like wearing...
Starbucks drinks? Yeah. And I'm like, don't wear toe socks, people. There's no purpose for them.
They made a point that he was the type of person that doesn't like wearing shoes, and I don't like wearing shoes, and I like toe socks. So, I have to connect with that notion.
And I was like, oh!
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Not the toe socks.
That's a fundamental thing we disagree on. Yeah, Eleanor wears a rabbit mask and goes to a room with a feather door, pushes it. Maybe that's what the feather is? Eleanor is the feather girl that talks to ghosts?
Interesting.
Anyway, she pushes a note under the door, and then it opens for a sec and then closes.
But she wasn't there for that.
Yeah. Mirabelle depoisons Zachary.
Woo! Because he was poisoned by the tea.
And meets Rhyme. He unbuttons Dorian's shirt to look for a sword tattoo, which is a bit creepy, but they've kind of creeped on each other at this point.
Also, Rhyme is an acolyte. The only acolyte living down in the underground world.
Yeah, and is kind of pointless.
Like, yeah.
She doesn't really...
I mean, she gives them some of the books. I guess that's what...
Her uses. Yeah. She's kind of like a librarian, but...
Like, she gives Zachary this ballad.
Yeah.
Without her, Zachary wouldn't know the story of Eleanor and Simon.
Okay. Dorian gives Zachary back Sweet Sorrows or something.
He does. He had it. Well,
he put it in his coat,
so Zachary actually had it all along.
They carry books around, like, without noticing a lot.
Also, how big are their pockets? Right? Also, how small are these books?
Right?
Like, so, this book, The Starless Sea, if I were to just lug this gigantic book around in my pocket, it wouldn't fit for one.
Yeah. I don't know. They just, like, slip books into people's pockets, and it's like, they must be tiny. Admittedly, we're reading five books in this book.
Yeah. Like, Sweet Sorrows is a pretty small book.
Yeah.
Okay, next interlude.
Yeah.
We get introduced to Simon. He gets a letter.
Yeah.
He goes to this house that his dead mom left him. Mm-hmm. And he finds a door to the Starless Sea.
Mm-hmm. He rolled crowns. He goes to the feather door. He responds to Eleanor's note. And then she's like, I wrote this 8 years ago. And then they hang out because he's just chilling.
And now they're like the same age-ish.
Yeah. Because Eleanor was a little
girl
child
the first time.
Yeah. And then she leaves for a sec and then comes back and she's like, it's been 6 months.
And he's like, it's been a minute.
Yeah.
So we've discovered that also in this book, there is time differences just to add to the what's going on here mentality.
Yeah. He realizes that Simon's last name is Keating, which is Sweet Sorrows was donated by the Keating Foundation. Yeah, I was like, Dorian has to be the love interest. He thinks about him so much.
Yes. Considering what he knows about Dorian, it's pretty weird. Because
it's so random.
Creepy storytelling. And then he has been spying on you because he knows everything about you. And that's it.
That's all you know,
like,
about him.
You guys, they haven't had a conversation.
No, they have not, like, had a conversation other than instructions to go steal a book.
But he's fallen in love.
Yeah. He finds the dollhouse room, which you might remember from years ago.
And it's been burned up to a crisp.
Yes.
Woo.
Learns there's only Keeper, Rhyme, Mirabelle, him, Dorian, and the cats in this place.
Which is interesting, because how would the people at Starbucks know the code to the, like...
I don't know. Don't know why they'd give it out.
All right, continue.
He finds a little poem slipped under his door. I didn't write it down, but I was like, I gotta pay attention to this poem, because it's gonna, like, be what we need to do. And then he, like, tries to do things from the poem. It's so confusing.
I don't remember the poem.
It's like, you'll remember.
Okay.
Simon gets Sweet Sorrows from Lenore, which is what Eleanor told Simon her name was. Yeah, and then she comes back into the room and she's like, oh, I found you again, finally. And they kiss and then they bang.
Yeah.
And she's still in the bunny mask. Which I was like, that's real creepy.
And then they try to figure out a way to be together.
Yeah.
And it fails. Yeah. And they're separated.
In time.
Yeah.
So Zachary goes to examine the statue that he found. You remember there was like a poem that was like, you gotta find the queen of the bees or something?
Yes. Oh, is this the poem about the keys? You need to find a key that has, key and a key that's never been keyed.
That's not a key. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The thematic thing. Yeah. So he finds a statue that's covered in tiny bees, as per poem. And then finds Mirabelle drinking wine near a ballroom. And then he goes to see the Starless Sea with Mirabelle.
And which is like all depleted. And
it's like a dark pit, essentially.
Yeah. Nothing like what he imagined.
And then Rhyme gives him the ballad of Simon and Eleanor.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I was like, okay, Mirabelle is Eleanor and Simon's child that they had when they banged that one time.
Interesting. I didn't connect that until it became obviously clear.
Really?
Yeah.
I was like, well, someone has to be Mirabelle, because, like, I don't know. Her origins just felt weird. Or she mentioned something like, I was born here or something.
Oh, she did mention that. You're right.
Yeah.
I should have connected the dots, man.
There's a lot going on. There was a lot of dots just free floating around. Simon loses Eleanor. Zachary goes to see Dorian, who's super drunk, and shushes him. What? My notes are terrible.
Oh, he tells him the story about the three swords.
Yeah.
And then he falls asleep. I don't know.
Yeah, because he's like, I read your book, because Fortunes and Fables is Dorian's book.
That's the one that Zachary stole.
Mm-hmm. He overhears Keeper and Mirabelle discussing him, and then the keeper kisses Mirabelle's shoulder. And up until that point, I thought they didn't like each other.
Yeah, because they had argued about letting Dorian in.
Yeah.
But they were in love.
They're in love, it turns out. It also, I thought Mirabelle was young.
And that the keeper was old.
Really old.
Yeah.
And so it was like, I was like, why does this keep happening to me? Why do you keep tricking me? Because I think Mirabelle has pink hair. So you she just kind of like assume
young. Maybe her point was, you can't help who you fall in love with.
Yeah, maybe.
Even if they're ancient and you're 25.
Admittedly, Simon is like ancient compared to Eleanor.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just like, always fall in love with very old men. That's the moral. Dacri goes back to the bee woman statue with Persian cat friend. He has a cat friend now. I like his Persian cat friend. Puts Mirabelle's key necklace in one hand and the hotel key card in the other.
Because what? Yeah. What? Of course, a hotel key card is a key that's not been keyed.
Yeah. And then he goes into a staircase inside the Queen of Bees. And then it's Simon and Eleanor time. And then I was like, yeah, pretty confident Mirabelle is Eleanor's baby. And then the kitchen named the baby, which I thought was really cute. Because, like, Eleanor grew up most of her time in this harbor on the Starless Sea.
Yeah.
And so she was, like, asked the kitchen what to name the baby. And they were like, Mirabelle. Yeah. I was like, that's so cute.
Yeah. And then Simon, like, he was lost. And he was obvious. I connected that dot. He was the man lost in time.
Yeah, you got it. Dorian creeps up on Zachary. And is all like, he's not a boy, he's a man. Oh, that's when...
Oh, this is an interlude again.
Yes, where Dorian is watching Zachary.
So now we find out he's been spying on Zachary.
While Zachary was getting drinks.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I was like, oh yeah, they did mention that there was a guy when they were getting drinks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone tries to drug Zachary's drink, so he stops that, and then he's like, I want to tell Zachary stories. I was like, that's so creepy.
And he does later. His dream is fulfilled. It's the most romantic thing you can do.
Yeah.
You should try it to Alex. Okay. Whisper in his ear.
I feel like we have to do like 2 episodes of this.
I know.
This is... We're not even there. Like,
well, there's like 5 books and we're at book 2.
Yeah. No, we're the coming up book is book
4.
Oh,
wait, we did book 4.
Okay. All right, I'm going to stop this recording right now, and then we're going to move on and do the rest, because, yeah, this is so long and weird. Your thoughts? See, at this point in the story, I did like it. Okay. I was into it. And then
I was getting into it at this point. I think... Like, I was messaging you about my kind of progress, and I was like, I'm getting into this.
Yeah.
The first, Zachary's beginning story was so not interesting. Mm-hmm. Then Zachary's story got good. Mm-hmm. Things were happening. And the stories within the story were interesting stories.
Yes.
And it was the same, I mean, Ballad of Simon and Eleanor, it was the 2 same people.
Yeah.
For over and over, and I was like, I can get behind this.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a lot that I could get behind, and then it kind of went a weird direction.
Really weird, really quick.
Yeah.
Because now, after this, you will find out in the next episode, they really, really start connecting all the dots in a weird way.
Yeah. Yeah, you've been listening to us trying to connect the dots, and I don't know if it's going to translate. Like, yeah. It was like they just kept, like open plot thread. Like, she's like, I gotta open 600 plot threads. And then was like, we gotta tie these together. And it felt like a little jamming it together.
Oh, very, very jammy.
Yeah, very, very, very jammy.